Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to build and grow a six or seven-figure business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail, blogging, services, you know, sitters, trainers, groomers, and everything in between. And I'm really excited about today's guest, and I know that you will be too. So today we've got Beth Greenberg. Now, Pamela Auert Stewart and Beth Greenberg became best friends at the age of two and grew up together in Reston, Virginia. Lifelong animal lovers, they started All Friends Pet Care as a part-time pet sitting business while working full-time jobs in 1998. On January 1st, 1999, they quit their jobs to dive into running AFPC full-time and have grown it from a small business that grossed over $100,000 their first year to a corporation with over 80 independent contractors today. AFPC currently services over 2,500 clients in the Northern Virginia area and has grossed over $1 million every year since 2006. It's eighth full-time year in business. That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way. That's for a pet sitting business. That is killer. So All Friends Pet Care has been featured 5 times in the Washingtonian magazine Best of the Best in Pet Care issue, most recently in July 2013. Now, Pam and Beth have always been very active with Pet Sitters International, through which they started the first pet sitting network in Northern Virginia, the Nova Professional Pet Sitters Network, in 1999. Beth served as the Nova Network president from its inception until December 2003, when she was named PSI's Southeast Regional Ambassador. She's spoken at several pet sitting conferences, mostly about her favorite subject, client relations, which is exactly the reason why we've got you here today, Beth. And Beth is also passionate about business operations and management, putting systems in place that will keep order in your business and help it grow. Pam is a graduate of Pet Tech, the first national training center for pet first aid and care. My cat's coming in here, so sorry about that. As a pet first aid instructor, she is certified to teach and train the skills and techniques of the pet first aid, senior dog care, and dental care. Pam is the voice of AFPC. She has excellent communication skills and is the marketing guru while constantly developing and maintaining business relationships. Over the years, Pam and Beth have developed a well-branded and successful multi-million-dollar pet sitting business. As complementary forces to each other's strengths and weaknesses, together they have created a formula that other pet sitting companies want to learn from and duplicate. As a result, in 2011, Pam and Beth decided to create Alpha Approach LLC, a business dedicated to coaching, consulting, mentoring, and motivating other pet sitting and pet care businesses. Pam and Beth both attribute their wonderful success not only to their lifelong friendship and mutual respect for one another, but to their constant generation of new ideas, marketing techniques, and networking opportunities. Beth, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the awesome intro.
Yeah, no worries. We had some technical issues getting on, but you know, I really wanted to make sure that we had you. This, you know, we met not too long ago. What I was really impressed with is that you guys are just knocking it out of the park for the pet sitting industry. You guys are just killing it right now. And it's great because you and your business partner, Pam, kind of you play opposite ends of the coin. So you guys kind of balance each other out in a way that it just drives your business. And I think it's like a beautiful relationship. And you guys are just, like I say, you guys are just knocking it out right now.
We refer to each other as the yin and yang. You know, her strengths are my weaknesses and vice versa. So I think that's why the partnership works so well. I think if we both had the same strengths, we had both had the same talents, then it would, you know, we'd kind of be bumping against each other all day long. But because I have my talents and she has hers, we just each, you know, leave each other to do what we're best at.
That's great. So let's go ahead. Let's step back here. I guess before we get too deep into this, let's step back. And when you guys first decided that you wanted to go ahead and create this business, when you started the business, did you go at it with a money mindset? Did you go at it with like, oh, we need to generate blah 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 blah, or was it really more of a, you know, this is a passion business, this is what we want to be able to do, and we'll just kind of figure it out as it comes?
I would love to say the first, but it actually was the second. When we started, we decided we wanted to be one of the biggest in Northern Virginia, and we definitely wanted to be the best. Those were our two goals. We didn't think anything about how much money do we need to make that happen, mm-hmm. How much hard work are we going to have to put into this, how many clients are we going to need. We really didn't have any of those numbers. And knowing now, you know, what I do, I wish I'd known it back then,
yeah,
to be able to, you know, apply some common sense goals to growth rather than just kind of, you know, hang on to your seats and let's just take this thing as fast and as far as we can.
Right, right. No, that's funny. Yeah, it's that hindsight, right? It's like, look, if I knew then what I
right.
know now, then
right.
I would have been sitting here like 5 years ago.
And exactly.
It would have been, yeah, no, that's great. So you guys now, we were going through this. It took you 8 years before you guys hit that $1 million mark, and you guys have been doing that ever since. Is that
right? Yeah, we actually talked about six-figure marketing. We actually hit six figures our first year.
Wow.
So seven figures was the secondary goal,
mm-hmm.
but we hit six figures. We made 109 our first year in business, 1999.
Yes.
Yeah. And we grew 100% every year for like 3 years after that. I think we went 109 to 264 to 365 to 500.
Yeah.
And so $1 million became the mark that we kept aiming for. And then we finally hit it, 2006.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So now obviously, you know, doing $500,000 worth of pet sits and other related services, that's not something that you can do by yourself. So tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that you experienced early on in terms of growing the business and, you know, where were those growing pains for you guys?
Well, you know, it's the growing pains that everyone in the business goes through is finding help,
mm-hmm.
finding reliable help. And I think our the methods that we use to weed through all of the applications we get to find those gems,
mm-hmm.
I think after 17 years in business, we've kind of honed that down to where it literally is just kind of wading through all of those applications to find that one gem.
Mm-hmm.
That was our number one challenge in growth. Because we serve a large service area. Our service area is about 40 square miles.
Wow.
Within Northern Virginia. And you obviously can't do that by yourself, and you can't even do it with just one or two people. So what we learned early on is instead of trying to find that one perfect person, maybe we find three mostly perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can just do midday dog walks, someone who is in school and would love to do overnight stays, somebody who's available mornings and evenings to do vacation visits.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why we have so many pet sitters now. It's not because we have, you know, that many pet sitters all doing full-time work.
Mm-hmm.
We have some sitters that have one client. They have two clients. They only want to do, you know, clients in the month of May in this particular area.
Right.
But you know, it works because when that particular client calls, that particular sitter is available. She's the only one that wants to care for that cat, and so that works.
Right.
So that's our struggle with growth is because you can't service an area until you have the pet sitters available to do that area. It's
mm-hmm.
the chicken or egg thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't spread into an area and keep yourself sane. And I've talked to a lot of pet sitters that have a huge service area and they're doing it all themselves. So they only have one part-time person.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn very quickly, that's a really good way to burn yourself out,
yep.
is to spread yourself too far, too wide, try to handle everything.
Yep. No, that's really interesting. I'm glad that you said that because that's kind of a consistent theme across
mm-hmm.
all of these conversations that we're having. And even the calls that we have, you know, just with clients or people that just contact us out of the blue is it's like, you know, a lot of people, they come into this industry and it's a passion for them, right? It's like,
mm-hmm.
I love dogs. I mean, how great can it be to be able
right.
to work with dogs all day? You're
right.
out, you're exercising,
yeah.
this and that. But at a certain point, there's only so much that you can do by yourself. So
right.
you either have to, you know, you can kind of grow to that point and then you have to kind of scale back a little bit to keep your sanity, or you've got to be able to break through that and start to run it as a business and not
right.
just a job.
Right. Exactly.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
So now in terms of, I know you guys have a bunch of ICs, and I think that hiring people that just do like the different areas, I think that that's genius because
mm-hmm.
those are probably some of the happiest employees that you've got because where else is somebody going to be able to find a job that they can only do midday dog walks
right.
or cat sits in the month of
right.
May and be totally cool with it?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it really appeals now more to a wider swath of people, mm-hmm. because now, you know, the woman that works evenings at a restaurant, she works middays for us. She does, you know, 6, 7, 8 middays during the day. That's perfect for her. That's all mm-hmm. she needs. You know, the woman that works full time, but maybe she has kind of weirder office hours, 10 to 6. Mm-hmm. She's perfect to do those mornings and evenings. Mm-hmm. So it really is just kind of changing your mindset about, well, I just need one person. Well, no, maybe you don't need one person. Maybe you need three. Mm-hmm. And just really, you know, getting it down to the bare bones of, I need this person in this town that can do this. And I need someone else over here that can do this, instead of thinking, okay, well, I only want three people to work for me. Well, why? Why did you just set that finite number?
Right.
You know, why not say, instead of this is how many people I want to work for me, this is how many areas I want to service. How many people would I need to be able to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. I love that. So now, do you guys pretty much just run your marketing for hiring just continuously? So you're always looking for new people?
Yeah. Yeah. We always are. In the beginning, we don't do print advertising so much anymore, mm-hmm. but in the beginning, every ad that we put out saying, you know, we're advertising ourselves as a pet sitter, we would always have a little box in the corner that said, always looking for great, passionate pet lovers to join our team. Mm-hmm. Every single ad, because why not? You're paying for an ad. Why not have it do double duty?
Yep.
So if some people look at it and say, oh, we might need a pet sitter. Oh, honey, wasn't your sister looking for work?
Mm-hmm.
She loves dogs. Maybe she would be great. You never know, you know, who you're going to find. And we're always running ads. We're always running ads. Sometimes we get great response. Sometimes we get none.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always looking. We mention to our clients pretty often that we're looking for somebody on the Facebook page or in the newsletter. Mm-hmm. You know, do you know anybody? And we've gotten probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 pet sitters that are former clients or are friends of current clients.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, and they make the best pet sitters because they've seen it from the other side.
Right.
They know what they were looking for
mm-hmm.
as a client, so they can then translate it as a pet sitter into what they need to do.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. And that's great. And that's funny because, you know, some of the most successful kind of pet care businesses that we see are they do that. It's like, you know, they run these marketing campaigns. So mm-hmm. you've got a marketing campaign for lead generation. You've got a marketing campaign for, you know, customer retention and just making sure that your existing customers are cool and they're happy and all this other stuff. And then you've got that third arm where it's, mm-hmm. you know, going out and trying to find good people to service the people from the first two stacks. So, no, I think that's great. That's genius.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of we've talked about kind of one of the biggest challenges ultimately coming early up was the kind of the people aspect of it, right? The human aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of challenges did you have? I mean, did you guys have any challenges with setting up the business itself? Any kind of the business management, I guess, of it? Because it sounds like you guys probably did that, right? You guys did the steering of the ship mm-hmm. and you hired in the people
right.
to actually do the work.
Yeah. Our one of our biggest challenges when we first started was finding an accountant who knew anything about the pet business, about the pet sitting business. We went through quite a few accountants and, you know, did a bit of stumbling on the way, just trying to find that accountant, that tax advisor that mm-hmm. could help us with the tax planning and the preparation and all of that. And that was a big challenge. And the management of the office. Mm-hmm. We learned really early on that it's not impossible, but it's really difficult to try to manage everything in the business that needs to get managed while you're out doing the walks
mm-hmm.
and while you're out doing the visits and still maintain a professional image.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something from the very beginning we said, you know, you alluded to it earlier, that everyone goes into this business because they love pets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a given. But you have to have the business sense as well. And we mm-hmm. always wanted to run our business as a business. We always wanted to have a professional image that we were putting out. And so that went along with it, having that person in the office, that live voice
mm-hmm.
to answer the phone, to be able to help the clients, you know, as soon as they call in and not wait for a call back, you know, 48 hours later.
Right.
And so that really, and that's something that, you know, and folks that I talk to, it's tough to make that leap because you say, okay, well, I'm making all this money now I'm going to have to give it to somebody mm-hmm. so they can run my office. And so now I'm losing money. Well, yes, maybe in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
but the time that you save that allows you to then refocus on marketing, refocus on client retention, will end up coming back to you.
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, what that does, right, is it gives you the ability to focus your time and your energy on what you're best at.
Right.
You know, your best and your highest use of your time. When there's something that somebody else can do, I mean, you don't need to necessarily be the person to go out there and, you know, scoop the cat litter or do whatever.
Right.
You've got better things that you can be doing, especially when you can find other people to do that. I love that. That's great.
Right. Yeah.
So now, when you were talking, something else just had come up. So if you were looking back, I mean, it took you, I mean, you hit six figures and you guys were growing relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go back and look at that now, is there anything that you would change, or what are those, what would you go back and do differently now as opposed to how you handled it originally? Because, I mean, quite honestly, let's be honest. I mean, you guys did it pretty well. I mean, you started out doing six figures. You were doubling your business every year. I mean, it's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are other pain points that, you know, if you guys were able to do that, there's probably things that you learned that maybe could have eased the process,
right,
eased the pain, sped up the process, whatever.
I can only pick one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that we didn't do at the beginning that I would really advise everybody to do is have a written business plan. You know, as I said, we just had that image in our head. We said the biggest and the best.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea how we were going to go about and do it, what the steps were that we were going to take, what processes we need to put in place. We never had any of that. It was just kind of the you know, the Band-Aid approach.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurts, you fix it, you move on.
Yep.
Something else, you fix it. But we really never sat down and thought things out and just came up with a written plan. These are the areas we want to move into by this time. And this is how many pet sitters we'll need to make this happen. And this is how many clients we need to be able to pay the bills and cover all of this. And we moved into an office after our sixth year, because we were working from home for the first 6 years. We moved into an office, we didn't even write all that out. You know, how much is this going to cost for us to move into an office? How much money, you know, how much overhead is this going to cost? And that was, you know, and obviously it didn't hurt us because we succeeded and we moved on. But, you know, you think if I had done all that from the beginning, how much more successful could we have been? or, you know, how many headaches could we have saved ourselves?
Yeah.
Because of lack of planning and lack of foresight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's interesting is one of the things that we run across, and I had the same conversation with Robin Bennett, because she's got an accounting background, is that it's just the people knowing their numbers. Like you had just mentioned it. Like, what is that nut? Like, what do we need to make in order to be able to cover the cost of this office? Or, you know, at what point in time does it make sense to transition that? So knowing your numbers, I think, is going to be ultimately crucial. Mm-hmm. So now for folks that are in there, so a lot of people that are going to be watching this are either new in the industry and we kind of want to smooth out that process for them, or I, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going through this that have been doing it for a while and are just having a hard time getting beyond the I can do it all myself phase.
Right.
So, you know, there's that peak. And what happens is, and it's an unfortunate place to be in, because the money's not typically there. Mm-hmm. They're stressed out. They don't see their loved ones. They don't do all this other stuff. I mean, here you are. You're getting married in a week, and you're on an interview, a phone call with me. I mean, you know, the business is running fine. People are getting taken care of.
Right.
So, you know, how do you know that kind of stuff? What kind of – were there softwares that you started using that helped you kind of identify what those pieces were? Or how do you even just get into that?
You know, it was just kind of trial and error.
Right.
For folks where I suggest that they bring on office help, and you know, that is one of the biggest challenges, and they say, oh, I can't afford it because that's taking money out of my pocket that I need. Suggestion I make is bring somebody in. And again, thinking in the piecemeal, the example I gave earlier of you don't need one perfect sitter, maybe you need three.
Mm-hmm.
So piecemeal it. So maybe you have somebody coming in your office from 9 to 11. Then they go walk six dogs. Then they come back to your office and finish up 2 to 5, or, you know, 2:30 to 5, whatever. So there's still a chunk of time where the phone isn't being answered, but you've got the morning to start out and you've got the evening to end up. The money that pet sitter is making walking those dogs, you pay her percentage. The other percentage that comes to the company goes to pay the salary that you would be paying her to work in the office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not any money out of your pocket.
Right.
It is walks that are being covered that needed to get covered anyway.
Right.
And that's something where it can be fluid. So maybe she's in the office from 9 to 12 and then 1 to 4 because she only has two walks.
Mm-hmm.
Then another walk comes in, she gets it immediately.
Right.
And then you grow her walk schedule. So that's just something to think about. And again, that's something that can be played with.
Right.
So if you're paying her, you know, $10 an hour to be in the office, the $40 that you're paying her before the walks and after walks is certainly made up by the walks that she's doing.
Totally.
So something to think about.
Oh yeah, no. And then when she's in the office, she can actually not only do, you know, administrative stuff for
right.
her clients, but also other clients. So you're getting kind of some of that
exactly.
some of that benefit, some of that cross there.
Mm-hmm.
So the key there is going to be creative. Now, one of the things that we talk a lot with folks about is how to get clients, right? So
mm-hmm.
in order to be like that model that you just talked about, I mean, the ability to be able to do that really depends on your ability to go out there and find clients to
right.
help cover the cost of this person.
Right.
So what do you find are some of the most, actually, let's go back. How important is marketing in your business right now?
You know, marketing is always important, but like the theme of this call is becoming be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So the marketing that we do isn't even traditional marketing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have one print ad in a magazine called Nova Dog, so it's Northern Virginia Dog Magazine, and we affiliate ourselves with a lot of rescue groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been key for us. Because the more groups you affiliate yourself with, the wider your reach.
Mm-hmm.
We never really got into, you know, the hang tags on the doors and the direct mail pieces. A lot of our business, especially in the beginning, was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And creating incentives for existing clients to refer you to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a $20 credit on their account or one free dog walk or whatever it may be. But you know, they tell a friend and they tell a friend and they tell a friend. So we really don't have the traditional marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer to your question is marketing is always important, but it's finding that best return on investment
mm-hmm.
that you can, because our marketing budget's actually quite small. We have quite a few free sources of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The one you mentioned when you were introducing me, the Washingtonian Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We've been named Best of the Best, I think 5 times, and that's free.
Yep.
And that is a magazine that goes to 200,000 homes, I think,
mm-hmm.
listing us as one of the best. That is yep. like the ultimate in free advertising.
Yep.
'Cause not only are we... our name is getting out there, but they're listing us as one of the best.
Yep.
Angie's List has been another great source for us
mm-hmm.
Because that's also free.
Yeah.
Although I'm waiting for them to start charging people. But that's been another great source of income for us.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing that we get through there, even Yelp, even with their bad, you know, blood and bad lawsuits and whatever else they have going on, they're still free. We
yeah.
still get business from them. And the network that we started, networking with other pet sitters, which some people don't want to do because they see it as, you know, getting cozy with the competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in how you view it. Unless
yeah.
you personally think that you could care for every single dog and cat in your service area by yourself,
yeah.
Which there's very few service areas that are that small that one person can handle them all.
Right.
There's going to be other companies around, so you might as well get friendly with them.
Yeah.
And that way you can help each other out. You can refer business to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We use independent contractors. We actually share our sitters with quite a few other companies in the area,
mm.
which benefits all of us in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those have been our primary sources of marketing, just those free sources, but the outreach and affiliating ourselves with all the different groups
mm-hmm.
is what makes the difference.
Yeah, no, I like that. Like, there's a couple of things that you said in there that really resonated with me. The first
mm-hmm.
was when you're taking a look at your marketing, it's about trying a lot of different things,
mm-hmm.
especially things that are non-traditional, because that's not where people are used to seeing
right.
your services. And, you know, it's really just about, again, kind of going back to knowing your numbers, which ones are working and which ones aren't. If you're spending time on something and it's not working, you pull the plug on that one and you go try three other things. And it's always being creative and getting out there. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too.
And to that point, you know, we advertised for years and years and years in a little publication called Pet Lover's Companion. Mm-hmm. And it's a little guide and it lists all the vets, all the groomers, everybody else. And most of the pet sitters in the area advertise in there.
Yep.
We got no business from them. Mm-hmm. We track, and this should be important to point out, we track every person who books with us. We ask, how did you hear about us?
Yep.
Because unless you're asking that, that you have no way of being able to, you know, figure out what's working and what's not.
Right.
But Pet Lover's Companion, we got no business from them.
Yeah.
We put our ad in. It was, you know, a couple hundred dollars a year. And probably in 3 years, I think we made maybe $200 off of them. And so we said, well, we have to pull them. And we went back and forth and we said, but everybody else is in there. Mm-hmm. We can't pull our ad and not be the only company in there. And then we said, but we're not getting any business from them.
Right.
But we can't be the only one in there. And so we had to weigh it out. And we said, you know what? If we're not getting any business, we got to pull it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how it looks. Nobody's seeing us anyway. Maybe they're not seeing us because there's so many other companies in there.
Right.
So let's look at how else we can creatively get our name out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a decision to make because we were just pouring that money down a hole.
Right. Right. No, I love that. And the other thing that I think that a lot of people kind of fall into is they get the idea, and it goes back to mentality, right? They've got this idea that it's a zero sum game. It's like, mm-hmm. look, either you're going to get it or I'm going to get it. And,
right.
You know, we can't. And I have the same philosophy as you. Like, there's, you know, everybody needs services. Everybody
right.
needs marketing. And so, I like to be friendly with other people. And they, you know, when you go talk to other folks that are like in my industry, they're like, what's your angle? What's your sleeve?
I'm right.
Like, it's not really an angle. It's just,
yeah.
I get that, you know, even if we're talking about the same kind of things, some people are going to like you. Some people are going to like me. It's not
right.
a big deal. So no, I really dig that. That one I think is huge to get
yeah.
over that whole, it's not, it's either a you or me kind of thing
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. It's not, it's us.
Yeah. It's us. And
it's
you know,
us.
I mean, at the end
we're
of the day,
all
it's all about
together.
No, exactly, right? I mean, it's all about coming up with this solution that's going to be mm-hmm. better for everybody, right?
Right.
It's a win-win-win
well,
for everybody
that,
involved.
That you might not want to face, but if somebody else in the industry does something bad, it reflects bad on me. Whether or not I market and network with them or not, it's going to reflect poorly on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are all in it together. We're all
Absolutely.
Trying to achieve the professionalism in pet sitter mm-hmm. In the pet sitting industry that's going to benefit all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's great. So now, like I had mentioned this before, like a lot of the people that are coming through this process that are going to be watching this are, they're going to be of the variety of folks that have been doing this for a while. They've been hitting this plateau or whatever. So they're feeling like their backs are up against the wall a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Money's running tight. They're getting stressed out. They're burning
right.
out. So if you were to sit down with some of those folks, and I know that you probably run into these with your consulting part of the business, if you could give them a couple or three pieces of advice, what are the couple or three things that you would say, these are the first things that you really need to focus on to be able to kind of break free of that and change the trajectory of your business?
Well, number one would be an assistant of some sort, a mm-hmm. manager. That is the number one time suck, is trying to do all the visits and manage the business.
Yeah.
You can't do both of those well. So one or both of them is going to suffer. The second thing would be some sort of a reservation system that does not allow for anything to slip through the cracks. Whatever works for you is great. Just make sure it is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And it is as close to foolproof as possible.
Yeah.
And I talk to folks who, you know, use Google Calendar and they use an Excel spreadsheet. And that's great. If that works for you, then that's great. A lot of people have, you know, much more elaborate reservation system, and there's a ton of them out there.
Yeah.
So I really suggest, you know, do your homework, see what works for you, for your size business, not just your size business now, but for the size that you want to be.
Yeah.
Because you might be by yourself now, but in 5 years, if you have 20 people working for you, the little software that you're using now might not, you know, work. And a system that is robust enough to manage not just the appointments, the calendar, the invoicing, the client information management, all of that should be tied in together. Once you find a system that works really well for you, get it set up, a little bit of a learning curve there. But once you get it all set up and running, it saves so much time.
Yeah.
Being able to confirm electronically to the client what's happening, mm-hmm. What visits are being done when, what money is due when, mm-hmm. giving them a payment option that is easier, it streamlines things so much.
Yeah.
So that would be the second one. And the third one would be, know what marketing is, what we just talked about, know what marketing is working for you, mm-hmm. and identifying what your best return on investment is for your marketing dollar. Figure out your marketing budget, because that's a mistake a lot of folks make. That's a mistake we made in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And sure, $500 for, Yellow Pages ad. Yeah, why not? Oh, yeah. $1,000 here. Sure, no, why not? And mm-hmm. we looked at our marketing budget, or marketing, what we had spent, mm-hmm. and it was like 20% of our budget. I mean, yeah. Way more than it should have been.
Right.
Because we never sat down and said, okay, we're bringing in this much money. We're paying out this much money. That leaves this much money left. Mm-hmm. How are we going to divvy this up?
Right.
And we never looked at that. So figure out what a reasonable marketing budget should be, mm-hmm. and then figure out what are the, two, three, four, five sources where you can spend that money and get the best return on investment.
Gotcha. Now, just to follow up with that, for somebody that's starting a business, let's say, for example, I'm running a pet sitting business and I'm kind of doing it all myself. Maybe I'm doing 20, 30 grand a year, something like that. It's enough to basically keep the bill collectors at bay.
Right. But
I'm not knocking it out of the park.
Right.
What would you suggest a marketing budget be for somebody that's doing maybe 50,000 a year?
Marketing budget should probably be the same regardless of the size of the business.
Okay.
I can't say that I can speak intelligently on that because I don't know that we have followed, I want to say 5%, but I don't know where I'm pulling that number out of.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I just didn't know if you had like a number, like this was a guideline that we use or whatever.
Like I said, we didn't have it in the beginning. We still don't.
Yeah.
We're still just got, because we do so little marketing now, I don't even know what we should be spending.
Mm-hmm.
I just know what we normally spend. Our marketing budget is probably, I don't know, 1%, 1.5%, maybe 2%.
Yeah. Wow.
Really low, because we don't spend a whole lot, because so much of it is we network with this group. We, are on the list of this rescue group that refers us.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is free marketing. So we don't spend a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I guess my answer to your question for the $50,000 business would be they should spend enough where it still allows them to take some money,
mm-hmm.
pay all their bills, and have a little bit of cushion left over.
Gotcha.
So whatever that number ends up being, that's what they should look at.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Yeah, a lot of times we ask that question and people are like, what?
I know.
What's your marketing budget? What? I don't know what you're talking about.
What? Is that
English?
Budget for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
That's my response too. We're doing seven figures and I'm like, I think this is what we spend. I don't know.
Yeah. Ish. Something ish.
Yeah, right? Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah.
No, that's great. I love it. That's really helpful. And I feel like, those... I'm a big fan of threes. Like, I think threes is a good thing to remember. And I think that when we're expressing this to people, especially people that are running pet sitting businesses that are kind of, wanting to go out there and do mm-hmm. that, those three tips, those three things that to focus on are really going to be a good way to, a good way to kind of identify. Because anything more than three, it's like, yeah, there's always 1,000 different things that we could be doing in our business.
Right.
But really, what are those two or three things that we can focus on right now that are going to get us that next step?
Right. Well, and if I could add a 3A maybe.
Three, yeah, absolutely.
Recognize that the clients are the ones that pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
That as much as we all want to just spend our days, walking the dogs and playing with the kitties, the clients pay the bills, the clients make the decisions, and the clients are the ones that will ultimately decide if they're going to use you, if they're going to refer you to your friend, to their friends. And if your business is going to succeed,
mm-hmm.
I've talked to folks and I've heard from folks where they're really quick to just cut the client off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way the client talked to me. So done. I'm done with her. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And that is your priority. And don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that you should stick with clients that are mistreating you or you know, treating you badly or whatever else. But the grand scheme of things, your company is not going to be able to grow if you're cutting clients off left and right because of, you know, a slight or an imagined slight or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess my point in that is, you know, treat your clients right and they'll treat you right.
Right.
That's something that we have lived by all of these years. And we have had, not a lot, but we have had situations where, it may have shut a company down. Mm-hmm. You know, a sitter that missed visits or an ill pet or something like that. But it's the way that we managed it and dealt with the client mm-hmm. that was able to salvage the situation.
Right.
So just always keep that in mind that, what's the phrase, customer is king. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe in client is always right, but the client is always the client.
Yeah.
And that's something to always keep in mind.
I mean, we've been doing this for quite some time, and I can attest to the fact that, you know, the client is definitely not always right, but
right.
you still have to treat them with respect if exactly. you want to be able to stay in business for sure. Yeah. And I absolutely live by that every day.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, thank you very much for spending your time with us today and, you know, sharing some of these nuggets. You know, obviously we're gonna post this video online. People are gonna be able to check it out. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, if somebody had additional questions, they wanted to follow up with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can reach me through our Alpha Approach mm-hmm. Consulting business.
Okay.
And that email is Beth, B-E-T-H, at alphaapproach.com. Just shoot me an email. I'd be happy to respond, answer any questions,
awesome.
Point people in the right direction, and, you know, help those that we can help and help you by pointing you in the other direction if we can't help you.
Great. No, that's fantastic. So when we put this thing up, what we'll do is we'll include links to the Alpha Approach website. We'll put your email out there. And if there's anything else that you can think of, you know, let me know. We'll get that out there too. But again, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know
thank
it's getting
you,
late there. Have a great day. We'll talk
thank
to you soon.
Thank you so much. You
all
too.
Alrighty.